This morning we're going to be studying the hymn that we just sang, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Before we dive into the hymn, if you would, turn with me to Revelations, Book of Revelations, chapter 4. We're going to kind of set the stage for the background for this song. Revelations chapter 4. So if you have read the book of Revelations, you'll remember this is the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus being revealed to John the Apostle. He was exiled on the island of Patmos. And he received from the Lord these words. He received the vision of the Spirit. And so as we read, chapters 2 and 3 are letters that John was told to write down to deliver to seven different churches, and those were churches that existed at the time, and also these letters apply to us also. Starting in chapter 4, what we see is he's caught up in a vision, and he sees the things that are going to come. Alright, so John, from here on out in the book of Revelation, he is receiving a vision of things that are to come. So verse 2 says, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Right, so here's John. He's seeing this in the vision. He's seeing a scene set in heaven. And there's a throne, and there is one sitting on the throne. That's Jesus. Right, so he sees in heaven the throne, Jesus sitting on the throne. Verse 4. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. These 24 elders, they represent the universal church, basically the whole body of all the believers that have ever existed. These 24 elders represent all members of the church, all those who are saved, and they are crowned with crowns of gold on their heads. And in eternity, we as believers, we will be crowned with glory. We will be crowned with victory over sin and death. We will be crowned for what we have achieved for the Lord. Right? And so this is set up here. Here's the church. And each one wearing a crown of gold on their heads. Now jump down to verse 10. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. The church, the body of believers, in the presence of Jesus, there are three responses that are appropriate, that are right, that are, I guess, expected, that are natural for us. The first response is that we would bow down before God, before Jesus, right? Bowing down, what does that signify? What do you think of when someone bows down before you? Submission, right? There is a submission of you are a greater power. I am in your debt. I am in your control. You're showing reverence to the one that you're bowing to. You're showing humility. You are greater than I am. You are ascribing greatness to the one you're bowing before, right? So with this action, the church shows and demonstrates, Jesus, you are great, right? And they don't stop there. The second response that comes in the presence of Jesus is they worship. They worship him, right? They were bowing down and they worshiped him. You're giving him praise. Right? You don't just stay there in that position, but your heart overflows. You want to praise Jesus, to tell him how great he is, to ascribe greatness to him, to express that. Right? So there's worship. The third reaction that they have is that they cast their crowns before him. And I think this is a beautiful picture. Right? Each of these elders, again, representing all of us, right? When they come before Jesus, first of all, in Jesus' presence, he is a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. Imagine yourself standing before Jesus. If you're wearing a crown, I don't know how you would react. My first reaction would be, you know what? In your presence, I'm not worthy to wear this crown. And so what the elders did was they removed the crown and they put it before Jesus. And this picture would make a lot of sense, especially for those who lived in a time of kings. Right? Nowadays, we have authorities over us, presidents and prime ministers, but we don't so much have kings. And even if we did, they don't wear crowns. Not too many of them. But what they in the old days, when kings greeted each other, in order to show reverence for the greater king, the lesser king would remove his crown, place it before the other king to show, I am not worthy. And then the other king, the greater king, in acknowledgement, would take that crown and put it back on a lesser king to acknowledge that act and to say, here, I deem you worthy to be king again. Here, the elders, as they come, they're not worthy to wear the crowns in the presence of Jesus. And so they're laying the crowns. But also, think about this, right? As believers, when we are crowned in glory and eternity, what is it that justifies having the crown? Is it anything that we have done on our own? Right? Anything that we can do as a believer, any greatness that we can achieve, anything that we could possibly do for the Lord, it all comes from the Lord Himself. And so there's this acknowledgement of this crown that I wear, that I've been given, number one, is given from you, Jesus. And number two, I wouldn't have this if not for you. And so here, right, acknowledging the source of where the crown comes from. And so these elders, it's only right for them to return the crown to Jesus. And it's an act of worship, a continuation of their worship. They worship with their bodies prostrate before Him. They worship in song and praise, and they worship in acknowledging, we're not worthy before you, and you deserve these crowns. And so that's the background, right? That's the picture we would have in our minds. Now we come to the hymn. The hymn opens with crown Him with many crowns. When we crown someone, right, now we're taking a step further, not just laying the crowns down at His feet, but when we crown someone, what is the purpose of crowning someone? It's not just for decorative purposes. It's not just, putting a nice pointy hat made of gold on them. There is a reason why we crown someone. It's usually to mark a position, to demark that this person is a special honor, of a special position of authority. I don't know if there have been the birthday parties, right? The birthday boy or the birthday girl sits at the head and, they put a little special crown on them, right? It's to show everyone, this person is different, this person is special, this person is marked out. All the attention is to be given to this person today, right? It's not like you go to Burger King and just grab, one of those crowns and put them on. There's something special here, right? And so when we crown Jesus, when we crown Him with many crowns, we are ascribing honor to Him. We are ascribing specific honor to Him. It's not just a vague honor. It's not just, because of, some kind of vague greatness, Jesus would give you a crown. As we look at the lyrics of the song, there are very specific reasons why we crown Jesus. So turn with me to the song lyrics. We're going to go through them in a little bit of detail this morning. Crown Him with many crowns. Verse 1. Crown Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon the throne. So first of all, we know who we're crowning. We're crowning Jesus. Right? He is the Lamb upon the throne. Hark, how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. At this time when you're crowning Him, as you're praising Him, this heavenly anthem of praise, as you crown Him, it supersedes everything. Nothing else matters at this point except Jesus and the worship that we give Him and are crowning Him. Awake, my soul. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee. And hail Him as thy matchless King through all eternity. I find it interesting that the person who wrote this hymn writes, awake, my soul. If you imagine yourself in heaven, all the saints gathered before Jesus to worship Him, do you think you would be asleep? No, but here's the thing. A lot of times when we come before the Lord's greatness, our soul is slumbering, right? We think when in heaven, at that scene in front of the throne, there's no way that we could be asleep, right? There's an uproar There is uproarious worship. Everyone is in on this. How can you be asleep? But here on earth, I don't think it's any different than in heaven. I think we need to be worshiping Jesus too. And now at this point, sometimes our soul is asleep. We're not aware of what's going on. We're going through the motions, right? And it is possible to fall asleep in a situation where everyone is excited and worshiping. It is possible. I remember once in college, we just had a computer science project that was due, and as is the case with many students in college, I procrastinated. And so the day that it was due, I hadn't slept for probably 20-some hours straight. Yeah, and I was tired. A friend of mine had tickets to a, what was it called? Those Japanese drums? Taiko drum? There was a taiko drum concert. If you've ever heard taiko drums, they are loud, right? They're small drums, it's big drums, but they are loud. These men and, you know, these diapers, they are pounding on these drums with great force. And you can't sleep through this concert. Yes, you can. Because I went to the concert with my friend, we sat down, and I think within 3 minutes, I was out like a light. And I woke up at the end when it was time to leave. And that's how tired I was. We are able to sleep, to be asleep. And our soul, our spirit, are able to be asleep at a time when everyone else is ascribing greatness to the Lord. And so the hymn writer says, "Awake, my soul. Wake up." Right? Why? Because we are singing of Him who died for me. Right? Soul, wake up. We're singing for the one who died for you, soul. Get with it. Get with the program. And hail Him as thy master's king. There is no other king like Him. Not just now, but through all eternity. So verse 1 sets up this scene of, you know what? We are coming to worship Jesus. And He is something else. First of all, He died for you. If for no other reason, He died for you. And so, wake up, right? Wake up and sing. Now, verse 2, crown Him the Lord of love. Okay? In verse 1, we are crowning Him as the matchless King. There is no other King like Him. You are ascribing to Him this unique position of no one else like You, Jesus, in all eternity. You are the matchless King. Verse 2, now we are crowning Him as a Lord of love. How do we demonstrate love? With flowers, with candies, with doing laundry and dishes. I think doing laundry and dishes is worth a lot more than flour and candy. I see a frown. Flowers wilt, and then you can dry them. They look nice. Candy makes you fat. When you do something for someone, right? That's an expression of love. Here, let's look at what we say here. Crown Him the Lord of love. How do we know that He is the Lord of love? Right after crowning the Lord of love, what does it say? Behold, right? Behold, look. Look at His hands and side. What do we see when we see Jesus' hands? The nail prints, the holes that the nails went through. What do we see when we see His side? His side was pierced. Right? We are looking now, we are now saying to examine that He is the Lord of love, to see how He is the Lord of love. We look at what He did for us. Being nailed to the cross, dying for us. Rich wounds. Rich wounds. These are not any insignificant wounds. These are rich, rich wounds. Yet they are visible above and beauty glorified. Right? There is a real beauty in His suffering. And we see Jesus, when He rose from the dead, remember when He came to His disciples? When He rose from the dead, did He still carry His wounds? Yes, because as he showed Himself to the disciples, especially to Thomas, who didn't believe, He said, if you doubt, look. Right? This is Jesus who was risen in His new body already. Yet He carried the wounds. Why? Because these wounds demonstrate to us how great His love is. It's a reminder. And again, it's a reminder why we come to the table every week. Because He is the Lord of love. His wounds did not go away, but in his risen beauty, these wounds are now glorified. Right? When we look at wounds, they're terrible things to look at. But in Jesus, these wounds are glorified. Why? Because they are signs of how much he loves us. And we look and we, same thing as the cross. When we think of the cross, it is a terrible instrument of execution. But when we think of the cross, we can't help but to think of his love. And the wounds, no angel in the sky can fully bear that sight. Right? Think about this. If you read the book of Hebrews, it tells us angels are what? Angels are not greater beings than us. They are servants. They are created beings. And they actually don't have a part in salvation. Did you know that? Angels don't have a part in this. Because they are God's servants. They are created. The fallen ones are done. There is no salvation for them. There is no redemption. But the angels that continue to serve the Lord, they look at what God is doing. And they look with wonder that Jesus, God in the flesh, would come and die for us. They look and they say, wow, what is with mankind? What is so special about them? That our boss, in essence, our creator, our maker, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, why would he die? And so angels look on this and they look with wonder and they cannot bear the sight, right? They are looking at the greatness of who God is and they can't bear to see God suffering for us. That's how great that suffering was. Angels can't bear to look at it. But for us, I welcome you to come and look. Why? Because this was for us. Right? Something that's so great that the angels can't bear to look at, we look at and we see, wow, he is a Lord of love. And so we crown him. As we put this crown on Jesus, we ascribe him, you are the Lord of love. There is nothing else that we can call love compared to what you did. Everything pales in comparison. Everything that we would call love comes because God loved us first. We wouldn't know how to love if he didn't love us first. And so we crown him the Lord of love. Now, verse 3. Crown him the Lord of life. Crown him the Lord of life who triumphed over the grave, who rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing. Who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. We crown him the Lord of life. What does that mean? What does that mean? What are we crowning Jesus for here when we crown him the Lord of life? In this verse, what are the two things that are spoken of? Number one, after his death, what comes after his death? Resurrection. He rose. Where did he rise? On high. So there is his resurrection and there is his ascension. We are crowning him for his victorious resurrection and ascension. Right? Look, if Jesus was the Lord of love, and he loved us greatly, but if that's all he was love, and there was no victory of resurrection and ascension, then you know what? We would feel pretty good that he loved us. But we would still be eternally damned. Because there is no hope beyond death. All of us would still be looking at the end of our life, our physical death, and that would be the end of us. And then an eternity away from the Lord. Right? But because Jesus, he fought. Look, he rose victorious in the strife. What is strife? It's a battle, it's a fight. There was a battle with death, and Jesus rose victorious over that, right? Look, when there's a big battle, what do you do to the victor? Right? Well, I don't know, have any of you watched boxing? Some, a little bit. I can't do it. It's brutal. It's really brutal, but I'm not going to judge. At the end of a boxing match, and I've seen this on TV, it's not because I watched a match, but I've seen this on TV, what happens at the end of a boxing match for the winner? They raise his hand up, right? There is a victory. this guy won. He's done something great. I don't know if that great, you know. But there is that victory. Jesus, in his battle with death, he rose victorious. And so we crown him. We say, Jesus, you, wow. No one else has done this before. You fought death and you overcame and you won. And not only that, but you rose on high to your position of glory at the right hand of the Father. Right? What is so great about ascension? What is so great about the ascension of Jesus? What happened after Jesus went back to be with God the Father? How many remember? Quiz time. Who was Jesus to send after he returns to the Father? The Holy Spirit, right? We crown him the Lord victorious in his ascension because from that we receive the Holy Spirit. And so there's a lot packed in this verse. We sing his glories because he died for us, because he rose and he is on high. He died to bring us eternal death. He died eternal life to bring. And he lives that death may die. He died to save us. And in his living, in his resurrection, he defeats death. And so now when we look at death, look, as Christians, you know, I was talking to one of the teachers at my kids' school, and he made this comment. He was talking about death, and he said a lot of students are very squeamish when thinking about death. And he said, look, as a Christian, when you think about death, yes, it is sad, but we shouldn't be scared of it. It shouldn't be that big a deal. I mean, it is a big deal, but it's not that big a deal. Why? Because there's something coming after death. Right? There is a victory for us after death. There is a continuation of life after death. And so when we look at death, yes, the separation is sad, but there is something greater that waits for us. Right? So the physical death shouldn't be so daunting, and Jesus lives that death itself may die. So we can look at death. What does Paul say? Oh, death, where is your sting? You've lost your power over me. You don't scare me anymore. Because I know after this body is done, something greater is waiting for me. And for this end, we crown Jesus victorious over death. Right? He died to give us eternal life, and he lives to claim that victory over death for us. Now, verse 4. Crown him the Lord of heaven. The Lord of heaven. One with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given from yonder glorious throne. What are we singing about here? We're crowning Jesus. He is the Lord of heaven. He is one with who? With the Father. He's one with the Father, and he is one with who else? The Spirit. We are singing about the Trinity here. We are praising Jesus as one of three in the Trinity, the triune God. This is doctrinal here. Have you ever thought about this? That when we sing a hymn, when we sing songs, it shouldn't just be about, I feel good because you love me and I love you and we're a happy family. No, sometimes when we sing, there are very deep truths that we sing. There's doctrine that we're singing. Here, as we proclaim praise, we are saying, Jesus, you are Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you are one. You are one with the Father known. Because why? Because through the Son, we would come to know the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and those who come to know the Son will know the Father. We have the Holy Spirit because Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to us after he rose from the dead and ascended on high. So because of all this, we sing, to thee be endless praise. Right? So again, the hymn writer brings it back full circle to why are we worshiping? Why are we on our knees? Why are we casting these crowns? Because you died for us. It was there in the first verse, and it's here again in the fourth verse. Because you died for us. So be thou, O Lord, through endless days, adored and magnified. Jesus, be adored. Because you're worthy of this. No one else is. Jesus, be magnified. We want to lift you up and tell everyone about how great you are. because of what you've done, you're the Lord who died for us. You're the Lord of love demonstrated through your sacrifice. You are the Lord victorious in your resurrection and your ascension. And you're the Lord King that's matchless for all eternity. And so as we sing this song, there is a real, you know, in the beginning when we sing this song, I was saying, you know, imagine yourself bringing whatever glories you may have received in life, whatever you feel like you've accomplished, and coming to Jesus and giving him that crown. Now we see the second half of it. Why do we do this? Because he is worthy of it. Because without him, we wouldn't have any of these crowns of glory in our life. Alright, so what I would like to do is I would like to sing the song again. Sing the song again, and this time, keeping in mind everything that we looked at, as we come and praise him, we can sing more fully in our hearts what we are crowning him for. You can stay seated, but let's sing the song, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Think and all that we do and all that we say
and in all that we are. Pray these things in Jesus' name.